So this book for me is really about imagining the Buddha, but an act of imagination that's constrained by the evidence. That's what I define as looking for the historical Buddha. In approaching the Buddha, I wanted to see his face. I wanted to know what he looked like. I want to hear the bustle of the cities where he lived. I want to hear the food sellers' cries. I want to feel the dust and grime that coated his clothes. I want to see that wizened skin, weather-beaten by all those years walking the roads of central India. I want to see those great bulging thigh muscles of someone who's been on the road all the time. But I also hope for a personality beyond my experience, a society that's very different from our own. What I'm talking about is finding a Buddha, finding an image of the Buddha that isn't perfect, that isn't beyond change, beyond vicissitude, beyond suffering, beyond difficulty. And often what you have in the life of the Buddha is an account of his development up to the enlightenment. Then he gets enlightened, and then that's it. It's over. Everything's formed. It's as if the Pali Canon appeared magically in his head, and he just dispensed it when he encountered people. So I wanted to see if we could find evidence that the Buddha was learning, was developing. I wanted to be surprised by the texts. Let me give an example. This I found very interesting. There's a text which is buried deep in this great tome called the Samyutta Nikaya about a character called Dhammadina. On one occasion, the Blessed One was staying at Varanasi in the deer park at Isipatana. Then the lay follower, Dhammadina, together with 500 lay followers, approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, and sat down to one side. Sitting to one side, the lay follower, Dhammadina, said to the Blessed One, "Let the Blessed One, Venerable Sir, exhort us and instruct us in a way that may lead to our welfare and happiness for a long time." So in other words, the Buddha is at Benares, Varanasi. Lay people come to him and say, "Give us a teaching." "Dhammadina, you should train yourself thus. From time to time we will enter and dwell upon those discourses spoken by the Tathagata," that's the Buddha, "deep in meaning, supramundane, dealing with emptiness, in such a way that you should train yourselves." Long pause. And they say, "Venerable Sir, it's not easy for us, dwelling in a home crowded with children, enjoying kazi and sandalwood, wearing garlands, scents and unguents, receiving gold and silver, from time to time to enter and dwell upon those discourses taught by the Tathagata that are deep, deep in meaning, supramundane, dealing with emptiness. As we are established in the five training rules," in other words, we've learned the five ethical precepts, "let the Blessed One teach us the Dhamma further." So what they're saying to the Buddha is, "We don't know what you're talking about. And we can't do that." "Look, we know the five precepts. What we want to know is the next step for us, please. You find this if you're teaching. You get feedback." You know, you start talking about voidness to people who just come to an introductory meditation class, and they say, "I can't get to, my mind's wandering all the time." So, feedback. "Oh, therefore, Dhammadina, you should train yourselves thus. We will possess confirmed confidence in the Buddha, in the Dhamma, in the Sangha. We will possess the virtues dear to the noble ones, unbroken, leading to concentration. Such a way you should train yourselves." Right? It's going back to something they can relate to. Have confidence in the Buddha. Have confidence in his teaching. Have confidence in the community. And develop virtues dear to the noble ones. And actually, this might not make sense to all of you, the Buddha is saying that if you do that, you become a stream entrant. In other words, you become a really advanced spiritual practitioner, which is quite surprising in terms of how we think about stream entry these days.